Today, as usual, either the first Sunday of the year or the last Sunday of the year, depending on how it falls, today is the last day of the 2023. So I'm going to share something that I believe God is saying for the coming year. Okay, and I looked at the last year's notes just to see exactly what I had shared on last time, and it was called The Remnant Rising 2023. The Remnant Rising. Okay, and it had to do with what, and it's going to continue even in this year, just a little different on it, but it has to do with God narrowing down the body of Christ, okay, allowing it to prepare herself for Him. Okay, and the ones that are preparing and yielding are rising to the top. They're becoming more and more evident, okay, more able to see. Okay, if you look around you this morning, we're not overflowing out the doors with a bunch of carnal Christians. We're just not. Okay, it's not happening that way where the focus of the church is to build big masses of people and to do that stuff. I think those days have come and are starting to go away. Okay, I think the day of seeker-friendly churches is starting to wane, where we won't see that stuff very much longer. Okay, and this coming year is really going to make a dent in it. Okay, and you're going to see people that are not fully in. Okay, they're going to fall off the fence on the wrong side. Okay, my goal, okay, as a pastor is to help as many people fall on the right side of the fence as possible. Okay, so I'm going to share some things with you about what's coming in the days ahead. I titled it 2024, Shaking, Shifting, and Surrender. Okay, and you'll understand what this means as we kind of go through it. There's going to be a shaking, there's going to be a shift, and it'll be evident by surrender. Okay, and we'll see it come to pass even more and more. But let's start with prayer. Father, we yield ourselves to You in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, Your Holy One that You have sent to redeem us, to buy us back, to purchase us with Your own blood so that the enemy does not win, but You do. Father, a plan that You had in motion, a plan that You set in play as soon as You created us as Your beautiful creation. Lord, that the devil would be under our feet and under the feet of Jesus Christ who shed that blood so that we could be washed clean of all sin, all iniquity, that we may now enter into You and Your presence. Father, I pray as we go through Your word, Father, that these things that You have shared, not just with me, but others within the body of Christ as a whole, Father, that You're leading us in a direction to prepare us for Your coming. And I praise You for that. Father, as we enter in, may we receive, Lord, understand what it is You're doing, what is coming, and be able to prepare for the days ahead as You lead and guide us through Your Holy Spirit. Father, we're trusting You this morning, and we rejoice. In the name of Jesus, we say, Amen. Amen and amen. Very interesting things my computer's doing right now, but we'll go forward with it anyway. So this is the last day of 2023. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Can't do anything about that, can we? So be it. Amen. Okay, it's the very last day. It's been an eventful year. Okay, both in the personal lives, okay? Each one of us individually can look back at this last year and say, whew, there were some things, right, that went on. Some great, some not so great, some kind of were hard that we went through. Okay, we've seen things within the body of Christ, our local church as well. It's been through some changes. Some things have happened. We're looking a little different than we were even a year ago. Okay, and we're seeing things in the body of Christ as a whole that have been changing. We're seeing, you know, things that the enemy threw at the church, threw at the body of Christ, trying to destroy or divide. Some of those things put some dents in. Some of those things did divide. Some of the one of the largest denominations in the country split and had major fragments now going because of things that the enemy has sown in. We're seeing a lot of stuff that has happened in the last year. Well, I'm more interested, I guess, at this point. I'm going to learn from all the stuff that has happened. I like to live a life of no regrets, okay? So when I look at my past and I think if I made a mistake or I went through this or did that, and I have. I've made some mistakes, by the way. And so as I look back at that, I don't see them as, oh, that was a major failure. My life stinks. I'm no good. I look at it and say, phew, I should have done that one different. I'm going to do it different in the future, Okay, and I see those things as something that I can learn from and I can apply now in my life. And some of the hard things I've been through, you know, I can help other people go through those hard things even better because now I've understood it personally for myself as well. So as I've sought the Lord about this coming year, okay, he has not been silent, okay, which is great. Okay, if you've ever prayed and you're like, I wonder what's going to happen, and you don't hear anything, you just kind of have to go on day by day by day. Okay, I have been praying and seeking the Lord on it for several months now, and he has not been silent, especially regarding the Oasis Church, okay, right here, and the direction that we are heading. Okay, he's been saying things. This year is going to be a year filled with positive changes. Okay, it truly is. Things are going to look different a year, but it's good. Okay, it's going to be in a good way. I see good things coming. Okay, there's going to be hope and more love. And we're going to be more effective reaching the lost. Okay, and intensely training disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and by that, you'll get all this in the next few weeks and months. You'll understand more of what I mean by that, about reaching the lost more effectively. Okay, all these hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that drive by on Sunday morning should be in the kingdom of God, plugged in, fellowshipping with somebody. If it's here or across town or wherever, it matters not. They need to get in the kingdom of God before it's too late. Okay, things are coming, and when stuff hits the fan, people that are not connected a little bit probably going to run to what they know to be able to solve and handle those kind of problems. And the ones that are in the kingdom and part of the fellowship, they will bond and say, it's time. We need to bond together because we need to go through this. We're going through it together. Okay, so what is heading our way for 2024 for the body of Christ as a whole, nationwide, worldwide, is of course leading the way for what we anticipate for the local church. Does that make sense? Okay, it doesn't make sense. I can say, well, this is what we're going to do. That's me and my four and no more. Okay, I don't think that way. My vision for what God wants to do in the body of Christ is bigger than just the Oasis Church. My vision for it is the kingdom of God as a whole. That's what matters. What is God saying for the kingdom of God? What direction are we supposed to be going as a kingdom, as the children of God, to be able to do and accomplish his purposes and plans here on earth? What do we need to do that? That's what factors in to right here at the Oasis. Okay, we have a part to play in that. Okay? We are a key player in Carbon County. We are a key player in that. I believe that. And so as I'm hearing what God is saying worldwide, then it factors into, okay, in order for us to be that key player and do what we need to do, here's what how we're gonna step forward into 2024. Okay, so I keep hearing three specific words. Okay, and I put them on the screen for us so that you'd have it if you want to write these down, because it's called a shaking, a shifting, and a surrender. Okay, shaking, shifting, and surrender. The shaking is necessary. Okay, to get rid of, you know, all the sins and iniquities and all the distractions and stuff that are not of God. Okay, things that are not of God can't move forward the things of God. Does that make sense? So if we're going to move forward with the things of God, we've got to get rid of some of the stuff that's not of God. Get that out of the picture, sin and iniquity in particular. Okay, now this shaking is something that God has used repeatedly throughout history. We can see it in the scriptures, but he's used it repeatedly over generations since the Bible was written as well to help move his kingdom forward. Okay, if you're advancing in a army kind of way, and you're serving, we serve the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, and as he's moving his kingdom forward and taking more ground, there are certain things that have to happen. Part of that, like I said, get rid of the stuff that's holding us back so that we can move into what God has for us. You've probably heard the premise before that when you go through tough stuff, that's when you find out what you're made of, right? You find out what's really important in some of those moments. Okay, that's, you know, we just spent 10 days without Margie in the house and me and the boys, and she was down in Colorado with her mom and in a hospital, and you know, we survived, okay, me and the boys. Okay. I got to be down there for probably five of those days or something, so about half of it. But the rest of it, we survived together as a family. Granted, we didn't eat like we used to eat when Margie was there. We probably wore the same clothes every day because we didn't know how to run the washing machine. No, I'm just kidding. I know how to run the washing machine, and the boys do too. But it was a matter of more of a survival mentality that, you know what, I wasn't thinking, oh, let's go Christmas shopping today, boys, or, you know, let's go whatever, because we weren't celebrating Christmas. It was all up in the air. So we went through this time of more of just survival. Okay, how do we get the animals fed? We found out we were feeding them twice as much as what Margie and Leon were feeding them. They ate good. They thought we were pretty good cooks, the animals did. The livestock and all that takes time and all those things, and things that would normally, you know, cleaning the table off or doing some dishes or throwing a load of, you know, all that on top of some of the other things. And so it got into this mode where we figured out we love having Margie in the house, right? We need her there. She's a definite part of the engine that makes it run. Okay, well, going through some of that stuff helps put things in perspective. I didn't care about buying presents or getting presents. You know what I mean? I wanted my wife back. I wanted my family together. And so it helped narrow things down going through, and that's a pretty small, tough thing. It was tough, but I know we've been through a lot worse in life, many. Okay, but it helped put things in perspective. What really matters in life, right? So as we go through and you're thinking about that going off, that kind of helps get rid of the stuff that's unnecessary. Okay, well, the shaking that is coming in 2024 prepares the way for the shifting in the church that's coming. Okay, and I'm going to explain this. The shaking is preparing the way for the shifting. Okay, so that things happen so that it puts something else in motion. It's like, you know, you ever see like a shopping cart that's going this way and then all of a sudden it hits a rock and it bumps this way, right? In the parking lot or whatever, probably not in the store, but you know what I'm saying? It's all of a sudden it shifts. It goes in a different direction. The shaking is what's leading up to that happening, that shifting within the church. Okay? Good things happen when God shakes things up. Okay, I want to show you a couple of scriptures here. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." What did God need to do at that point in the early church to get it going, to spread the gospel, was to have that Holy Ghost anoint his people in such a way that they could not contain him. They weren't going to keep silent anymore. They're going to be bold and share the gospel. The Holy Spirit is what does that in people's lives. He's the one that operates in that way. Okay, so God used that shaking around them and then implemented something else. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 25. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They're in prison, by the way. And suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Okay? God shook something up and it set people free. Right? And that's part of the shaking, why we got to allow God to do some shaking so that some of that bondage and the stuff that's holding us in prison, that's holding us back, can be shaken and destroyed even, so that the bands can be loosed, the prison doors can be opened, and we can fully go forward into what God has for us in this coming year. Okay, speaking about the days ahead or the days that are coming on the earth, Paul said this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in the first few verses of that chapter, he says this. He says, I'm going to back up just a second before I read that scripture. What I see in the scriptures is that God shakes things up, or he allows things to be shaken, but his goal is not for you to be shaken. See if he can differentiate this, that God is going to operate or use things that are right in your midst. He might allow the situations or the circumstances or the things around you to be shaken, but he does not want you yourself to be shaken. Okay, because you are steadfast. You are one with Him. You see what it is that God wants for you, and you don't move aside from that. Okay, now let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first four verses. As Paul is speaking about the days that are coming on the earth right now, he was forecasting this is what it's going to look like. He says this. He says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the or regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." Let me just explain that real quick. People were telling them that Christ had already come and gone. They missed it. Okay, and so he's telling them, don't worry that Christ, that it's already at hand, that already came and went, in other words. Verse 3, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Okay, so as the shaking comes in our lives, and this year we'll see some things, right, that will shake around us. But as that shaking happens, determine right now what you're going to do when that shaking comes. Okay, where are you going to run, in other words, when you go through a tough situation? Okay, are you going to run to the bottle? You know, are you going to run to your friends? Are you going to run to the psychiatrist? Or are you going to go full throttle to God? Okay, saying, "God, I'm in it. This is here. I didn't want to get here, but I'm here. And now things are shaking all around me. God, I need you. God, strengthen me. God, help me through this." And we go 100% into God and Jesus Christ at those moments. We can determine right now and be so just consumed with God and consumed with Jesus that that's where we will go. Okay, stuff happens. It's not, you know, blurting out a whole string load of cuss words and whatever. If something happens, we go, "Holy Jesus, I need you." Okay, that's what comes out of our mouth in those moments. That's being consumed with Him. So that's what happens. You know, God has made you in His image. Okay, He knows what you're going through. Okay, so when you get into that situation and the prison walls are shaking and falling down around you, He's right there. He knows exactly what it is. And maybe in some of these cases I see in the Bible, He's either allowing it or causing that shaking to happen so that you can be set free. Okay, Luke 12, chapter 12, verse 16. Actually, Luke 12, 6 and 7. He reminds us that they're not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Okay, my sister was a beautician, and if I remember right, she told me that the average human loses like 100 hairs a day. Okay, that's a lot to keep track of with 8 billion people on the planet. But God still knows how many hairs are on your particular head. Okay, that's pretty impressive, and that means that God knows the details of your life. Now, as I was asking the Lord about this coming year, He led me to a specific chapter in the Bible. Hadn't been one of my so-called favorites before, because I have a lot of favorites, but this time He took me to one particular chapter, and that is Hebrews chapter 12. Okay, Hebrews chapter 12 outlines perfectly what we are going to see in the days ahead and what we should be doing or do about it. Okay, so He doesn't just give you the problem, He gives you the solution too. Okay, so that we can see, oh yes, here's what's happening, here's what's coming, but yet we know exactly what we need to be doing next. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, we're going to read quite a bit of this chapter because it applies so greatly to what we're doing. In verse 1, that says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, did you hear? There's some pretty clear directive in there on what we're supposed to be doing. Okay, lay aside every weight. Okay, in other words, get rid of the stuff. Get rid of the stuff that we don't need. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Okay, that's an implication that we make sinning hard. Okay, don't set ourselves up for failure by putting ourselves in that environment or doing what we need to do what we can. Okay, so the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, saying, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every one whom he receives. If you endure chastening, then God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace, here's a directive, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Okay, then the Apostle Paul goes on in this chapter, and he begins telling the difference for the Israelites and how they refused to hear Moses. When Moses was telling them truth and they rejected that truth, and remember, they ended up wandering and many of them didn't get to go into the promised land. He kind of goes into in this chapter and explains some of this so that they can understand. And he tells them about how the Israelites resisted against the words of Moses. And then he says this, verse 25 in that same chapter. He says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Him is God. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, meaning Moses, much more shall we not escape, if we shall turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. It puts things into perspective. Okay, this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 simply describes the Father's love for you and why He disciplines you. Why does God allow the Holy Spirit as a convictor of sin? It reveals things in our life. So as God is speaking, or we read His Word, you hear a preacher, whatever it is, a friend speaks into your life, that Holy Spirit begins to convict us, and we don't want to be that way anymore. We don't want that sin in our life. That's the Holy Spirit. So how is God using that discipline, correcting, okay, that chastisement? How is He using that for our good? Okay, it's because He loves us that He does that. So what is it, and how does that help us? I want to read through some of that passage again, and kind of word it a little different so that it's not King Jamesy language so much as you can understand more of what he is saying here. It could be said like this. You could say, you have not struggled yet to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the divine word of encouragement which is addressed to you as sons or children of God. My son, do not make light of the discipline of the Lord, and do not lose heart or give up when you are corrected by Him. For the Lord disciplines and corrects those whom He loves. You must submit to correction for the purpose of discipline. Wow, there's a whole sermon in that verse right there, but okay. God is dealing with you as sons. Okay, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, if you're exempt from correction and without discipline, in which all of God's children share in that discipline, if you're without correction and discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not sons of God at all. In other words, we need and want to be corrected by God. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we submitted and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more willingly submit to the Father of spirits and live by learning from His discipline? For our earthly fathers disciplined us only for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He, God, disciplines us for our good so that we may share in His holiness. God has that as a goal for each one of us, that we share in His holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but it seems sad and painful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, right standing with God, a lifestyle and an attitude that seeks conformity to God's will and His purpose. So then, strengthen hands that are weak and knees that tremble. Okay, that's referring to the body of Christ helping one another. Strengthen hands that are weak and the knees that tremble. Cut through and make smooth, straight paths for your feet that are safe and that go in the right direction, so that the leg which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. In other words, we help those that are struggling and going through stuff so that they're not cast out as unusable, but that they're brought in and healed as someone that is effective, part of the kingdom, part of the body. And it says to see that you do not refuse to listen to Him, God, who is speaking to you now. For if those sons of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Him who warned them on the earth, revealing God's will, how much less will we escape if we turn our backs on Him who warns us from heaven? His voice shook the earth at Mount Sinai then, but now He has given a promise, saying, yet once more will I shake not only the earth, but also the starry heaven. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the removal and final transformation of those things which can be shaken. That is, of that which has been created, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show our gratitude and offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God indeed is a consuming fire. This shaking is going to lead to a shift in the kingdom. Okay, as Jesus admonished those who were missing the reasoning behind God's ways, they didn't quite understand what God was doing. Jesus spoke these words to them. It's in John chapter 8, starting in verse 45. Jesus says, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not then believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." This describes the shifting that is coming this year in the body of Christ. There will be those that will hear the truth, receive it, acknowledge it, and allow it to be in their life. They will let it do something on the inside. They will hear the voice of God. And there will be those that refuse the truth, okay, that push it aside, that don't want to hear that. They will not hear the truth, but rather stray from the body of true believers. And they will draw themselves and draw to themselves those that will teach them what they want to hear instead. Okay, 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul describes this. He tells us to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Okay, because of this, we will see the body of Christ narrowed down more in 2024. Many will walk through the gate that leads to destruction. It's a wide gate, and it seems to be getting wider. But few there will be that will find that narrow path that leads unto life. Okay, I want to be one of those guys, and I want you guys to be one of those, that we find this narrow path and stay on it. Okay, this manifestation of the clearly righteous and the unmistakably unrighteous is going to be more and more evident this coming year. 1 John chapter 3, he described this. 1 John 3:6. He said, "Whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he," Jesus, "is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." In other words, it doesn't feel right to sin. It's not who you are, just not of you. Verse 10, I highlighted. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Okay, January being a month of prayer and fasting, we're declaring it. We're going to have that as our mantra. We're going to press in. We're going to pray for God to do something, not just in our own personal lives, but in our families, in our community, and in our church, and in this county that we live in called Carbon County. We're going to pray for that in the month of January and continue it on. February is all about love. Okay, the world already celebrates Valentine's Day and all that, so I'm going to play off of that a little bit, and we're going to press into the love of God that leads to repentance. We're going to press into the love of God that covers the multitude of sins. We're going to press into the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Okay, we're going to press in deep over the next couple months. The shifting that we will see is from those that are not really Christians to those that really are. Okay? I see this coming in the local church. I see it coming for even right here. Many who are pretending to be believers, going through some of the motions of Christianity without a true relationship with Jesus, who haven't given their life to Him, who hold back, that won't give it all to Jesus, but I want to keep this part of my life, and they're doing this in their relationships, their families, their finances, whatever, and they're holding back. Okay, it's going to become very evident, because a lot of those people are going to be a part of the falling away that we see about in the Scriptures. Okay, they're going to begin to stray more and more away, heaping to themselves teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. Okay, but they are going to be the pretenders will leave the churches, and they're going to be replaced by those who truly worship their Savior. Okay, and those who truly honor and worship Jesus Christ with their lives and want to see His kingdom expand are going to be going to get the replacements. Okay, so it's not about, oh, well, we'll probably only have 4 people next year at this time. It's not that at all. It could be 400 people at this time next year. Because of what God is doing in the body of Christ with this shifting, get rid of the fluff and those that are just playing games, and let's narrow it down to the people that are hungry for God and passionately want to pursue Him, that have given and are yielded to Him as a vessel that says, God, here am I, send me. And we will go out and we will grab people by the hand. We'll grab them with our voice, most likely, but we'll be pulling them into the kingdom of God, saying, I don't care if you come to my church, but you got to get plugged in somewhere. You need to get into the kingdom of God. Here's how it works. Here's the gospel that God has presented. Here's the message that we must obey, and we'll be pulling them in to the kingdom of God. Okay, and that pretenders are going to be caught up in the way of the lost world and hearing the things of God, okay? The things of Jesus, things of God, that religious stuff is going to become less and less important to them, okay? It's just going to kind of wash away for so many people. And this is what facilitates this shift to take place within churches throughout the world, okay? Where people are getting serious about God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. He says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's talking about this separation. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. And he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Now for the solution as I wrap this up. How do we ensure that we are not among those who fall away? How do we make sure that we are not missing that narrow road to salvation? So lastly, in 2024, we are going to see surrender. Those who remain in the body of Christ will surrender everything to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This submission to the Lord is going to produce that beautiful bride for the coming Messiah. Okay, the bride is preparing herself for the wedding feast. Jesus came so that we could be presented as holy and blameless to the Almighty God. But in order for that to happen, we have to prepare ourselves for this coming by surrendering to His perfect will for our lives. That's saying, God, here I am, send me. Africa, Alaska, California, wherever. Southside, the high school, the marketplace, the prison. God, I'm willing to go wherever you call me to go. Jesus made a profound statement as he taught us about the last days leading up to his return. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, many of you have memorized that verse and probably the one after it, maybe the one after that. But I want to get to the stuff that Jesus was implying as he said those things. Yes, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he has believed. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But verse 21, he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Loving darkness, allowing a little bit in our lives, as much as we can tolerate, as much as God will allow, however we view it, loving darkness leads to destruction in our life. It makes you hate the light, which will keep you from coming to the light. Okay, now, how many have ever heard the Christian expression that you don't have to clean up your life before you come to church? You come to church and God will clean up your life. Anybody heard that? That is very true. But listen, once you come into the church, you have to surrender to God so that He can clean up your life. It's not just come in and it all happens automatically. There's a part you play in this. It's called surrender. It's called giving it all to Jesus, laying it down. If you don't desire holiness in your life, if you don't desire to get the junk out of your life, then you're living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and that's called lukewarm Christianity. And Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he described a church that was full of that, and he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's time to get serious with Jesus Christ. He did not put out fluff. Okay, when I look at the Bible, I don't see fluff. I see, man, that's a harsh word right there. That's strong. Okay, and he spoke it in love because I heard this. It was a message. I think it was David Diga Hernandez, one of those guys. He was speaking a word about somebody out playing in the street, an adult in the street, and we knew that there was cars coming and that they had just released the traffic and they're going to come by and this guy is going to get hit. Would we stand back and just say, oh, I hope he doesn't get hit? Or would we say, you know, go out and kind of talk to him from the side of the street and say, hey, buddy, maybe you kind of sort of hopefully might not want to be out there much longer because, you know, this might happen. We already know from the Bible what is coming. We know what has happened. Hell is a real place. Heaven is real. So is hell. We need to tell those guys that are playing in the street, hey, it's not time to be playing in the street, man. Get off of that street and get into the kingdom of God before it's too late. You're going to be destroyed on that street. We need to be serious about it and not just go with fluff. Jesus didn't give fluff. He said, they that believeth not will be condemned. And this is that condemnation, that they love darkness rather than the light. See, surrender is about coming to Jesus. It's about pouring out everything that you are at His feet. You don't want anything in your life that is not of God. Okay, you don't want any wickedness. I don't want a little bit. I want it all out. I want it all gone, not part of my life anymore. And as you cry out to Him daily, when you see something like that in your life and you cry out, God, help me every day, strengthen me, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, like your word says, take me in a better place. You're going to cry out to God like David did. Psalm 139, verse 23, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Only those that are doing this are going to make it to the end. Okay, as the field narrows down, to the few there be that find that narrow road. As that narrows down, it's the ones that are surrendering and crying out to God that clean me, cleanse me, get everything out. Yes, we're forgiven, we're washed clean. God's grace is powerful. But if you're living in sin, the Bible is still clear. We are not to be living in sin. Okay, we don't want that stuff in our life anymore. And it's this humility, it's this laying our life down at the feet of Jesus saying, have your way, Lord. That is going to be a signature sign in the body of Christ that the shaking and the shifting and the surrender is taking place. Okay, and as this happens, we are preparing for that day of the Lord. We are preparing for what is yet to come so that as we go through it, we will go through in love and bond and unity and be together in oneness with Christ and with one another. That we'll have a team to go through stuff with. Okay, more than just our own, me and my four and no more. We're going to go get the people that we need to partner with us so that we can all go through as a force in Rawlins, Wyoming, that we can make it unto the end together. Okay, that's my goal. Father, we're praising you this morning. Father, I thank you that, Father, you show us so many things in your word that we can glean the truth from. Father, I pray that every ear that hears this message today in this building or online or in the future on recordings, that, Father, every single one is ready and receiving of your truth. That, Father, we understand the seriousness of your calling on our life, that you have called us out of the darkness into the kingdom of God, that we may be light in your kingdom. That we may shine brightly and point others to the truth as well, that their ears too will be then softened through our prayers and fasting, that people will come into the kingdom and receive what you have for them, Father. Receive eternal life, receive salvation, receive deliverance and cleansing through grace and your powerful love that you have for us. Father, we're trusting you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for preparing us, Lord, to walk out of here different, to be different from here on out, that we will have a hunger, a thirst after you and your righteousness, that we desire holiness in our life. We abhor that which is evil and dark, and we push it aside to pursue you in this coming year. Father, let 2024 be a year of great understanding for us as we see this shaking and this shifting and this surrender taking place, Lord. Our lives will never be the same, and we give you the credit for that. Father, we praise you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.